It's important to first of all note that Sefer Shmuel is essentially dedicated for the life of David. Sefer Melachim is dedicated for the life of Shlomo HaMelech. Why is it that in the beginning of Melachim we're still talking about David HaMelech? Why don't we conclude Sefer Shmuel when David passes away, and then start Sefer Melachim when Shaul is king? So the Malbim explains that it was very important to bring this last year, basically, of the life of David HaMelech, because that was very influential in Shlomo HaMelech becoming king. In short, what happened was is that David was very cold, as we know, with punishment because he cut off the garment of Shlomo of Shaul HaMelech, and they were looking for someone to warm him up. He didn't have any internal body heat. He needed body heat from somebody else. So they got a Naira Basula, a very beautiful young woman, to lie with him. However, he was not intimate with her at all. Some of Farshim learned that he was trying to be mechaper, to atone for the chet of Bathsheba, and therefore he was not intimate with her at all. And because she was lying with him pretty much all day, she had to keep him warm, it was not proper for anyone to be in the room while they were lying in bed together. So she was practically speaking the only one who was with him throughout the day. There was no one else that was there, because it would not be tznius for them to be there.
Now, how do you conduct business?
He's still the king. He's still the king, so that's the point. So it says, Vatehilai Sechenes, she was in charge of, she was his treasurer. She was in charge of all the affairs of the state. Yeah, she was in charge of everything. So he was still king, but she was the one to carry it out, because he couldn't really talk to anybody else. She was the only one there with him in the room. So she was the one to carry out his decree. Now, Adonio, it's interesting to compare the rebellion of Adonio with the rebellion of Avshalim. The rebellion of Avshalim was conducted because Avshalim wanted to be king. His main goal was to be king. Adonio didn't really care about being king. What he really cared about, the reason why he rebelled, was because he wanted to marry this woman, Avishag. Avishag of Shunamis. Now, the only way to do so was by becoming king. And now, because David was not intimate with her, he would be able to marry her. But the only way to do so was if he actually took over the kingship. But he had actually a pretty good taina. He was next in line. He was the fourth son of David HaMelech. Amnon, who was the oldest, was killed by Avshalom. The second one, Avshalom, died, as we know. And the third son was Daniel. We don't really hear anything about him, so the Malbim assumes that he also died at this point, or whatever, or he was not significant. So the next one in line was Daniel. So he assumed he should be king. He was very handsome, very, very good looking. He assumed he should be king next. And it was very easy for him to start the rebellion, because David HaMelech would not know anything. It was easy to keep a secret, because who would tell him? No one ever walked into his room. So he didn't need to, in contrast to Avshalom, who gathered all the Jewish people, he had to, get to know the people, get them to like him. He was a good PR guy. But Adonio did none of that. He got together with Yoav, who was the general of David HaMelech, and Avyasar Kohen. These two were appointees of David HaMelech, but they knew that David was not very happy with them. Yoav knew that David was upset at him for killing Avshalom. Avyasar was not the favorite Kohen anymore. Tzadok HaKohen was not the favorite. So they both felt as, second-grade citizens.
They had nothing to lose.
In the palace.
They had nothing to lose.
Yeah, exactly. So they were hoping, okay, let's appoint the next king, Adonio. We're going to remain in power, hopefully. And that's why he conducted this rebellion together with Yoav and Avyasar.
And David didn't know anything about it?
He didn't know anything about it. Nothing.
He was
completely clueless. Yeah. There was no one to tell him.
So what did he do all day? I mean, he laid in bed with the woman all day. That's it. He didn't learn. He didn't do anything.
Well, maybe he learned, but he couldn't get out of bed because otherwise he would literally be freezing. He would possibly be freezing.
He was davening all day.
I'm sure he was doing stuff in bed. He wasn't just like lying there spacing out all day. But he was not doing well. You know, this is literally the end of his life, the last year of his life. He's 70 years old at this point. And, you know, that's what happens. You know, kings get old. They don't have the control they used to. In any case, so Adonio gathers all the important people in the palace. Yoav of Yosar, there's a whole laundry list of people that he invites to his feast. However, he does not call Shloimei, obviously he wasn't king yet. Shloimei does not call Shloimei, and he does not call Nosan Hanavi.
Which son was Shloimei?
Shloimei was, what number?
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
He's a kid, he's 7 years old.
What's the difference? What number child was he? He said this is first child, second child.
That's a good question, I don't know.
How many children did he have altogether?
160, I saw it.
160, yeah, I don't know. I haven't seen.
I saw it someplace years ago, so I might be way off.
Could be. Maybe, I don't know.
18 wives.
Right.
And 10 concubines. Mm-hmm. We're going to be all... So 18 and 10 is 28.
Right.
And each one has a couple of kids.
At least 10 kids from each kid, right?
Well, 20, if each one had a couple of kids, 28, there's 60 kids right off the bat.
Right. But, yeah. He definitely had a lot of kids, that's clear. I don't know exactly how many, but we do know that this is the oldest son of Bathsheba. Remember, the first son he had with Bathsheba ended up dying as a baby. And the next son we had was Shloimei. Shloimei HaMelech. Now, why did Adonio not invite Nathan the Navi? Because Nathan was the prophet that prophesied to David HaMelech that that Shloimei would be the next king.
Yeah, but how would he know?
How would Nathan know? He was a Navi.
David know? No. How would this son know that Nathan gave a prophecy?
Yeah, apparently it was a famous prophecy. He knew about it.
No.
So clearly, because, see...
How exactly did the next king become king? What happened?
Wait a minute.
We're going to see. Hold on.
No.
What?
After he dies...
After David dies?
Yeah.
We didn't get that far.
What was the process of making whoever's going to be king?
Typically, the oldest son becomes king. That's usually, but we know in this case...
But this didn't happen here.
No.
So how did it come out and happen this way?
Another three Pesukim together.
We'll see. We'll see what happens.
All right.
So Adonio did not invite Nathan because apparently this nevuah that Nathan gave to David was famous, that the king would be Shloimei. And so he did not invite Nathan, he did not invite Shloimei. So Nathan goes over to Bathsheba and he tells her, listen, you better go into the king, tell him that Adonio gathered everyone to the big feast, he's trying to become king, you have to go in and tell him. Now, there's an interesting medrash that's brought down before Bathsheba walks into the room. It records a fascinating conversation between Avishag and David. Avishag tells David, Avishag is the woman who's with him, she tells him, why don't you marry me? Right? Why don't you marry me and then we could be together? Right? So David says, listen, I would love to marry you, but Hashem says, 18 wives and no more. So Avishag says, right. Yeah. You're just old and you don't have the koyach to do it anymore, right? And you're using the excuse of 18 wives, right? But it's just an excuse.
Didn't we have this conversation before?
We did, could be.
It seems like I heard it from you, the same thing again.
Could be. Could be so, I repeated myself. I repeated myself a lot.
Learning and the other thing, though. You might have mentioned this. I heard about that. Sheva had to go in and tell him.
Right.
Who was going to be. We were discussing something. I don't know. Maybe somebody else told me.
Right. In any case, so apparently right after this conversation, Batsheva comes into the room, and the Gemara brings down that when you look at the pasuk, when Batsheva comes into the room, there are 13 words in that pasuk. Right? We're looking at pasuk Tesvav. You skip one.
I'm looking at it. It's your base, your gimel.
Batova Basheva, El HaMelech.
That's like this. Batova Basheva, El HaMelech, Achadra, Vamelech, Zokin, Moid, Vavisha Gushunamis, Masharas, Es HaMelech. 13 words. Right? So the Gemara brings down that David HaMelech was intimate with Batsheva 13 times, just to prove to Avishag that he still got it. Right? Don't think I'm old. I don't have the energy anymore.
You definitely
could be a baratan. Yeah, I could be. I repeated myself.
I remember exactly the same words.
Right.
You said it was something I held you, I think, and you you said that.
Right.
Okay.
In any case, so Batsheva walks into the room, and she tells him what's going on. And after she tells him, Nasan comes into the room, and he tells David HaMelech, oh, I prophesied to you that Shlomo would be king. Why don't you tell me that you changed your mind, or maybe you got a different prophecy. Now apparently Adonio is king. Why don't you tell me? You should have done something. So we ended off in Pasuk Chof Zayin, and we ended up by pointing out that the strategy of Nasan was have Batsheva to come into to David HaMelech and to get him jealous. Oh, you know what's going on? You know why you promised me that Shlomo would be king next, right? Why is Adonio now taking over the kingship? Not only that, but if you let Adonio take over the kingship, then me and my son are going to be killed after you die, right? We have no chance to live. She's trying to get him, first of all, jealous, you know, for a while.
Is this an out of Torah from one of the...
Sure.
Could be.
Just part of it. From Melach David Zokain.
Yeah, I think the first part.
Maybe that's where I remember it from.
Yeah. So he's trying to get him protective, right, over Batsheva and Shlomo. And then Nasan comes in and he approaches from a different angle. He says, oh, I was the one who told you, prophesied to you that Shlomo would be king. If you would have changed it, then you should have told me. Why didn't you say anything, right? To get him embarrassed and ashamed that he didn't tell Nasan, he didn't keep him in the loop as to who's going to be the next king. So in order to force someone into action, you have to approach him from different angles in order to get him to take a stand. So that's what we got up to Perek Chavches. So let's start in Perek Chavches and see how exactly David handles the situation. So Pasuk Chavches continues, Vayan HaMelech David Vayomer. So David says, Kiruli LeBatsheva. Right? Apparently, when Nasan came in, Batsheva left. First, Batsheva presented her case. Then, when Nasan came in, she left. She comes back into the room. She stands in front of the king. David HaMelech takes a shvua, and he says, "Chai Hashem shepodas nafshi mikol tzara." Right? He's using a very powerful shvua. He's mentioning Shem Hashem. Right? Ki kasher nishbati loch b'Hashem alek Yisrael leimar ki shlomi b'vnei chinim im lachacharai. As I promised to you, I made a shvu to you that your son will be king, that I'm going to now fulfill the shvu, I'm going to do it today. I'm not going to push it off, it's going to happen right here, right now. Now, when did David HaMelech promise Bathsheba that her son would be the next king?
Way back.
Right after her first son, baby, died. It says, we brought down back then, that, I think the Radak explains this, that Bathsheba did not want to be with David HaMelech anymore. She said, listen,
she
you know,
want to marry him.
She didn't want to marry him. Why should I marry you? Right, if we have another child, everyone's going to mock him. He's going to say, oh, you know, yeah, he came from David and Bathsheba, yeah, from that whole, you know, sleazy story over there, right? Everyone's going to make fun of me. They're going to make fun of my son. I don't want to marry you. So David HaMelech said, I promise you, I make a shvut to you, not only are we going to have another son, but your son is going to be king after me. No one, I promise you, is going to make fun of him. Or as Trump says, believe me. In any case, so that's when he made the Shavua to Bathsheba. And now, today, is going to be the day when he's going to fulfill the Shavua. Pasuk Lamed Aleph, V'tigod Bathsheba apayim aretz, v'tishtachu lamelech. She bows down to the king as a thanks, as a token of thank you. V'tirmel, chi adoni amelech davi lo'ilam. You should live forever. Now, obviously, she doesn't mean that David HaMelech would live forever. She's very well aware that he's old, he's going to die very soon. But what she means was, first of all, she's giving a bracha that you should have a long life. But furthermore, she's telling him that when your son will continue the kingship, it's as if you yourself are still the king, even though you're obviously going to be dead. But you're still king because your son is now continuing your reign. And the Malbim brings down that mitzad asoid David chay v'kayam, right? We have the song David Melech Yisrael chay v'kayam. Apparently, in Kabbalah, in mystic Jewish thought, David is still alive. His the messianic line is still alive. Hopefully, we'll be zech to see Mashiach very soon.
And she bows down to him, because she's looking for a favor.
Well, she bowed down to him originally. When she came into the room.
This wasn't right. Usual.
Right, it wasn't usual. Because typically when one of his wife would come into the room to be intimate with him, she wouldn't bow down to him, right? You don't. There's different customs for different situations. Pasuk Lamed Beis, Vayomer Hamelech David, Kirli Latzadik Hakoyen, Olanasan Hanavi, Luvnayahu Ben Yehiyada, Vayavel Lifnei Hamelech. He calls all the important people. He calls Tzadik Hakoyen, who was the Koyen in the kingship of David Hamelech. He calls Nathan a Navi, right, who was, again, the Navi who prophesied that Shlomo would be the next king. And Benayahu ben Yehoyada is the new general of David HaMelech. He appointed him instead of Yoav. Yoav was pushed aside because David was upset at him for killing Avshalom. Benayahu ben Yehoyada is now the new general. They come in front of the king. He tells them, you shall take Shlomo and ride him on my Pirda. A Pirda is a mule that apparently will not, she's sterile. She will not be with any male. Reason why that is because it's not fit for a mule that the king rides to have anyone else use it in any way. So it's not fit for a male mule to be, you know, if they would mate, to be on top of the female mule that belongs to the king. Therefore, she was sterile and she would not accept any male mule to mate with him. It was not fit for a mule of the king. Bring him down to Gichon. Right? Now, why Gichon? Some album explains that the Gichon was a very slow river. To show that just like this river is very calm, very slow, very very slow stream, so too the reign of Shlomo his son will spread very very peacefully, very calmly over all the Jewish people. And he brings another reason that Chazal say that you always anoint a new king over a water stream. That was the custom. Umashachoyes Hashem Tzalek Hakoyim Benasan Hanavi LaMelech Al Yisrael. You will anoint him to be king. Utekatam B'Shofar V'Amartim Chi HaMelech Shlomo. You should blow the shofar, which was a sign of some major event taking place. and you announce Zechiah Melech Shlomo. Right, you should bring him back to the palace. He will sit down on my throne. Meaning, right there and then, he will be king. It's not. He doesn't have to wait until I die. He can be king right away. Don't think, oh, maybe he's going to be king only on part of the Jewish people, only on Shevet Yehuda. Right, just like I myself, David HaMelech, when I started becoming king, I was only king over Shevet Yehuda. For the first 7 years, I was king over Shevet Yehuda. And only later, the last 33 years of his reign, did he become king over the rest of the Jewish people. No, Shlomo is not going to be like that. He will immediately be king over all the Jewish people, both Israel and Yehuda. Benayahu answers, he says, Amen, I agree with you. Can't you ever Hashem like a Adoni HaMelech? Yeah, I promise you in the name of Hashem that I will fulfill your word. And not only that, but Hashem will agree to that in Shemaim. Kasher hoya Hashem im Adoni HaMelech, ken yiye im Shlomo. Just like Hashem was with you, my master, my king, so too he will be with Shlomo HaMelech. V'gadol es kisoy. And since he will be with him, so then Hashem will rise his throne. Mikisa Adonai Melech David. He's going to be even greater than you. Why would he be greater than you? Because first of all, he has the lineage, right? He's the son of the king as well. Unlike you, David, who are not the son of the king, right? You were the first king in your line to be king. So he was, first of all, anointed by a Navi, just like you. And also, he has another Milo over you that he is the son of the king. He is a prince. So in fact, that's what they do. V'yeret tzadok ha-kohen v'nasan ha-Navi, v'nayayu b'ni ha-yoda, they go down to Gichon. The crazy v'aplesi we mentioned before were the Sanhedrin. Right? The Sanhedrin was a sign that this is happening al pi Hashem. It's not just happening in a vacuum, just because David wants him to be king, but it's happening with the agreement of Hashem. They bring him down to Gichon. They take the special Karen that was reserved for anointing kings, and they poured over his head. Now, typically, since he was king, you would not need to anoint him, because any prince is just continuing the lineage of his father. You don't need him to be anointed. But because there was a very special situation over here, where Adoniel was now trying to become king, and we have to make a clear sign, a clear showing that Shlomo is now king, therefore, in this situation, we had to have Shlomo be anointed by a Navi, and it couldn't just happen naturally, organically. Everyone was following him, following Shlomo back to the palace. They're singing songs, they're playing music. Apparently, it was very, very loud, and the noise traveled across the earth. We're going to see how far it traveled in a minute.
What is that? Bati baka aretz b'kolam. What does that mean?
No, it doesn't literally mean that the earth
was rent by the sound. Rent means will be ripped up and.
No, yeah, it doesn't mean like in a negative way where it's like, you know, it's like, you know, the earth split or anything like that. But
I presume there was a lot of people there.
Yeah,
you know, they blew the shofar, and I presume it was a sound for everyone to come together.
Yeah, the Ralbag explains that it's just an exaggeration, just to make a point to show what a major event this was and how loud this was going on for. Veishma Adonio hears the noise of, you know, this major thing taking place. Right? All the people, all his guests are with him. They finished eating. They finished the meal. They hear this major
what's going on?
Hum going on. Veishma Yoav was called Shofar. Veyomer Madua Kol HaKir Yohima. Now it's interesting. It says that everyone heard the noise, and Yoav heard the Shofar. Right? Well, what's the significance of that? The Malbim explains that everyone heard this noise. They didn't really know what it meant, how to explain it. Yoav, who was a general, he had very sharp instincts, and when he heard the Shofar, he knew that a major event took place. It wasn't just, you know, a big rally, you know, for Trump or for Hillary or like whatever. It was a really major event. Something major happened over here, and he wanted to know what he was really curious to know what it was all about. As they're talking, they're trying to figure out what's happening. Yonasan ben Avyasar Kohen Ba. Yonasan was the son of Avyasar. Remember, Avyasar was one of the people who plotted together with Adonio. So his son comes along. Since you are a man of valor, obviously you have a good word, a good message. Now, why is he assuming that he has a positive message with him? So a few explanations. The Baal Mesens explains that since he was a man of valor, he was obviously a general trained in war. He was a trained warrior. So he assumed, Adonio assumed that he gathered all the people in the city, right, as an army to join Adonio, and that's the noise that's going on over here. Since he would be a natural general. Another explanation is that men of valor who are very brave, typically they assume, you know, they assume that positive thing is going to happen because they're so brave. They're looking, you know, they always have a positive outlook as to what's going to happen at during the battle, and that's why Adonio was assuming that he will carry a positive message with him. Yonasan replies to Adonio, and he tells him, "Sorry, buddy, we've got bad news. Aval Adonino Amelech David Himlich Shloimai.
Crowned him.
Ye crowned Shloimai Amelech. Vaishlachito Amelech is Tzavik Akoin Vesnasan Anavi, Vnayobani Yoda, Vakrasi Valplaci. Merkivu Aisal Pirdas Amelech. He sends him with Tzavik, the Nasan, Vnayobani Yoda, the Sanhedrin, everybody. Everyone is now inside. They went down to the Gichon, they anointed him as king, and this noise as they're traveling back is what you guys are hearing. Now don't assume, okay, maybe he's just going to be king after David HaMelech is going to die. No, he actually sat on the throne, and he is now king. V'gambo avdei HaMelech levarach adoneinu HaMelech David leimar yetei velokim eskis eshem shloim mishmecha v'gad eskisa mikisecha v'shtachu HaMelech al mishkav. Not only that, but all the men of the king came over to him, they gave him a bracha, that in fact, Shloime would be a better king than you. It's not a better, but his kingship will be established, will be very, very stable, much more than David HaMelech. We know David HaMelech had a lot of many troubles, right? He had to go out to war many times, he fought the Plishtim, he had many rebellions on his hands. They're giving him bracha now that Shloime would not have to deal with that. And in fact, their bracha came true. Shlomo did not have any wars to fight. That's why he was the one who was chosen to become to build the Beis Hamikdash, and not David, because David had blood on his hands, so to speak. He was a warrior. He fought many wars, and anyone who has blood on his hands is not fit to build the Beis Hamikdash. V'gam kacha amar HaMelech, Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael, asher nasan hayom and the king himself said, right, that he's making a bracha. Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael asher nasan hayom. He put today, right, meaning David HaMelech is referring to the fact that Shlomo is becoming king today. Don't think that it's just the people assuming it that Shlomo is becoming king. David himself assured everybody that Shlomo is becoming king today. It's not that he's preparing him for after David dies. Rather, he's becoming king right now. Ve'enai ro'es, and I'm watching it myself. I'm watching it, and that means that I give my full agreement to that.
He didn't feel too good about that news.
Adonio?
Yeah.
No, he did not feel good at all.
I mean,
you can imagine.
The next pasuk, he says, all the guests trembled and they left. They ran away from him.
Yeah, things are not going according to plan.
He's left there. What happened? Yesterday he was going to be the king, you know?
They left. They didn't even bench. They just got
fair weather friends.
Yeah, all the polls were in his favor, and then before you know it...
Hey, you know, he could have sent the army. David could have sent the army after him.
Well, we're going to see. He's going to try to save his life. But the first thing, the first work of order David had to do was to appoint Shlomo as king. That was the first thing he had to do. And he had to make it very clear that it's happening through him. David HaMelech is giving his full agreement, and he's becoming king right now. That was the first work of order. Now that was taking place, now we have to deal with Adonio. So let's see exactly since David HaMelech is not king anymore, now Shlomo is king. So Shlomo has to deal with it, right? Because now he's rebelling against Shlomo. Now it's interesting because it seems like it's a unique situation, but apparently it was very common for kings towards the end of their life to anoint their sons, either their oldest son or whoever they chose, to be king. Because, you know, naturally, as we see over here, David HaMelech and many other kings were very old. They didn't have the wherewithal to deal with all the affairs of the king and the kingdom. So it was better for them to appoint their son and have their son, you know, so that way they know they can, you know, they can pass away with a quiet mind. Yeah, they know that, you know, there won't be any fighting, there won't be any rebellions. Now my son is king, his kingship is stable, and I have nothing to worry about. Right? So it was very common back in the day for kings to appoint their sons even while they were still alive. Okay, so let's try to finish the pasuk, the parak before Ma'ariv. All the guests of Adonio are fearful. They get up. They run out. They trample out of the suda because they're afraid of what's going to happen to them. They don't want anyone to know clearly that they took part in this rebellion.
They might get killed because they rebelled.
Right. Right, so they don't want anybody to know that they took part in this rebellion, and therefore they run away as soon as they could. But Daniel Yoram Yipnei Shlomo. Now Daniel is afraid of Shlomo, right? Because Shlomo is now king. He's now rebelling against Shlomo himself. He's afraid what he's going to do to him. The halacha was anyone who holds on to the mizbeach, unless you happen to be a murderer, the Mizbeach would save you. You're not allowed to take anyone and kill him if they're by the Mizbeach. Mizbeach would save him. Unless the person was a murderer.
Right.
Yeah. So he's hoping that that's going to save his life. For you got the Shlomo Lamer, Ina Daniel Yoreis HaMelech Shlomo. So they tell Shalom that Daniel is afraid of you. He wants you to make a shvua that you're not going to kill him. Why today?
He says he won't kill him with the sword.
Right.
Like he could kill him without the sword.
Right, well,
way.
Typically.
What do you mean the word becharev?
Because... The only way a king is allowed to kill is with a sword. That's the only way he's allowed to
kill. Somebody else kill him.
No, he has to be ordered by the king. Has to be ordered by the king. The king has to give the order for this person who rebelled to be killed. The only Beis Din has four different options, right? There's Arba Mises Beis Din. However, the king has only one option. If someone rebelled against him or did any other punishment that he deserves the penalty of death. The only way for the king to kill him is with a sword.
So that means he promised he won't kill me.
Yeah, promise he won't kill me. Right.
Because he, there's no other way he could kill him.
Right, exactly. So he's telling him, Yishavali Kayoim, promise me today. Why today? Because typically, when a king became king, the day of his anointment was typically a day where he would pardon people.
Yeah.
And that's what Adoniel was asking for. He's asking to be pardoned. If he agrees to be my loyal soldier, then fine, I'm not going to kill him. But if he does not agree to that, then I'm going to kill him right away. They take him off the mizbeach. He comes. He bows down to Shlomoy. And Shlomoy says that now you can go home. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he thought.
Wait, I'm going to go back. When Shlomoy says, "If he be a valiant man, if one of his head shall not fall, but if he be wickedness be found in him, what wickedness is?" I mean, what does he mean? Wickedness is going to be found in him. He's going to continue to rebel.
You're going
to
be a rebel. I'm going
to
kill you.
Is he going to kill you to rebel, or?
Yeah.
I mean, well, was he afraid that he might have a real reason to kill him? He was saying, "It means all right. He did it. It's all over." He's finished. The king now. I'm not gonna hurt him.
Right.
If he behaves,
he's saying retroactively, meaning I'm not gonna punish you for what you did. Right. But if you do not agree to be my soldier, then retroactively, I'm gonna hold you accountable for what
that
you did.
To continue being a rebel.
Yeah. Yeah.
All
right. Okay. Stop here.
Okay.
And we'll continue Parag Beis next week.
Before you leave.
Mm-hmm.